Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
And my name is Bill Cundiff.
Well, Bill.
Yes, Aaron.
Anything interesting for the week today?
Not really. Thanks for that.
I just like to give something, Bill, something he didn't expect. Okay, so I don't even have free advertisement of the week, so...
So who is a free advertisement of the week?
Budget printing.
Oh, budget printing again. Okay, the old go-to standby.
McDonald's budget printing right there on Bocelli Lane in Reading. They are the best, and they'll get your projects done really fast. And if you kind of stink at putting your artwork together, they do not stink at that. So it's incredibly helpful.
Yes.
They are by the... I was going to say they were by the liquor barn, but that apparently moved. When I wasn't looking, apparently I spent a tremendous amount of time there. I didn't even notice it moved. It sounds like I've lived here forever. It's by the old liquor barn, by the old... It's always they're by H&R Block. I guess you'll care about that first of the year. Okay. So today we're reuniting with our old friend, Dr. Shezong Chen. And we have not... I don't know how this happened, but we haven't talked to him in like a year, which is crazy. Sorry, I sound like Madge from the Sir Marge from The Simpsons. I had a cattleman's event last night. And there was a lot of talking in a really loud room, and
should have been right up your alley. I don't know what the problem is.
There was beef. There were funeral potatoes
and lots of talking.
Someone said no, they're called church potatoes, and I'm like, why do you call them church potatoes? They're like, well, they always have them at the funerals at church. Like, they're called funeral potatoes. Anyway, it was great, but there was a lot of talking over a lot of noise, and so you'll have to forgive me for that. But Dr. Chen has been active in projects concerning China for over 30 years, and now it's way over 30 years because we've chatted with him for quite some time. He has founded, co-founded, or been spokesperson for a number of organizations concerning China and has spoken extensively on issues related to China. He began his activism in 1989 when he helped to organize supporting activities during the 1989 Beijing student movement. He was outraged by the June 4th massacre and founded the Tiananmen Square Foundation. He has served on the board of the Press Freedom Guardian and was elected as the vice president of the Independent Federation of Chinese Students and Scholars in the U.S. Upon learning the brutal persecution of Falun Gong in China, Dr. Chen founded the Falun Gong Human Rights Working Group in 2001 and has since submitted over 100,000 cases of human rights abuses against the Falun Gong practitioners to UN special reporters. He has also founded and is president of the Conscience Foundation, a nonprofit organization to publicize and remind people that the human conscience is the very essence of humanity. He has spoken extensively on issues of human rights in China and since 2001 has frequented meetings at the UN Human Rights Commission in Geneva, now the Human Rights Council, spoken to the council, to special reporters and in many forums to forward the cause of human rights. He was a panelist in the annual meeting of the California Bar Association, spoken to Amnesty International's U.S. West region, and has made numerous appearances at various forums on radio, like ours, and TV shows and interviews. I have more on his bio. He's actually a microbiologist, which is interesting. So I'm going to skip to that part because that's
where I met him in my microbiology class.
Yeah, highly unlikely. Actually, it's more unlikely that I would have met him there. You know, the English majors don't loiter at microbiology things because we don't even, you know, what frustrates us is we don't know what the words are. And so that like locks us out right there.
Yeah.
But he was born in China in 1962 and at 15 entered the gifted program at China University of Science and Technology. He came to the U.S. in 1982. To study and received his PhD in molecular biology at the University of California, San Diego. He somewhat currently, may have to modify this a little bit, he's stepping back a little bit, but currently owns and runs a molecular biology startup in San Diego. And he was, we met him, hold on here, I can cheat on this one. First show we did with him was July of 2019. Because I saw an article that he had written that said, "Can Chinafornia ever become California again?" Caught my eye. And we started chatting, and then COVID hit, and he was the one who smartened us up about all that and the lab leak and all that. Thanks to him, we were way ahead of the game on that whole thing. But today we're talking about trade, and China and trade have been very much in the news. And when he called me the other day, I was like, gosh, great timing. Thanks for reading my mind. It's so handy. So I have your brief article that you sent to us, Dr. Chen, but I'm going to let you start this where you think we should today.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
We can.
Okay. So, thank you for the introduction, but hearing your doctorate introduction, I just realized that at least since 2019, July 2019, actually before that, I have also begun to speak on, in addition to issues related to China, issues related to the United States.
That's true.
And today, today's, well, I think, will be the most in-depth that I will elaborate on a U.S. issue. And I actually think today's talk will be the most important of all my talks that on your radio, and but it's also the most complex, and that is related to the Supreme Court case against President Trump on his invocation of the IEEPA, International Emergency Power, Emergency...
Oh, probably executive.
Not executive.
Didn't get the microbiology right, and didn't get this one right either. I also failed acronyms.
International Emergency Economic Powers Act.
Sure.
So, IEPA. And President Trump used terror, given by that power. And some other people think that PACS is Congress power. So, the lawsuit, right? So we'll talk about that because there's a hearing last week on Wednesday. And so I think this is the most important Supreme Court case on the United States foreign relationship. It's up to the level of the another Supreme Court case, the Amistad case. Amistad case is in our, U.S. high school textbook. So, but anyway, so this is our today's topic. I hope that I hope that we have time to unravel everything. But let's start. So, I think most Americans would think invasion looks like armies, ships, or missiles, right? But for more than 30 years, the Chinese Communist Party has used a different method. It converted international repression into low-cost production, and then invited the world, particularly the United States, to profit from it. And we accept the benefit without seeing the price, and so we have covered this topic before. We'll revisit this again. We call it the generous barbarism. And there's generous barbarism evolves, and it has evolved to now to cause a result, a devastating result in the United States. A quiet form of dependence. Those companies and institutions in the U.S., U.S. companies and institutions who remain silent about the CCP's abuses are allowed to profit in both China and the United States. Those who speak the truth and, or opposed to CCP's abuses are excluded from the Chinese market entirely. And over time, this has rewarded silence and discouraged conscience inside our own country, institutions, businesses, finance, universities, even public policy. So already, tear apart our fair competition, our market economy, right? So when large portions of the United States, those, you know, business, finances, universities who were dependent on China, you know, we are no longer our own country. Okay? Let me repeat it. When a large portion of the United States become dependent on China, we're no longer our own country.
Yeah.
And fortunately, President Trump realized this and invoked IEEPA, the International Emergency Economic Power Act, and used tariffs to reclaim and defend our sovereignty. It is a national security matter. It is a foreign policy issue. All belongs to the domains of the president's power. But some people claim that this is a tax issue because tariff is a tax. And that is under the Congress jurisdiction. And sued the president. In this case, by the way, the president has been losing in lower court. And so now the case is brought to the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court held a hearing this past Wednesday. From my own watching of it, and also many report, it is worrisome. Okay, vote will not be due for a few more months, but it's worrisome, and that's why I thought out airing a few, after hearing, I said we got to do a show on this. So, from the hearing, the debate seems to center around if President overstepped the Congress in installing the tariffs. And particularly tariffs against many other countries, including our friendly countries in the world, like the European Union and Canada, etc. Okay? So, today, I want to discuss how the United States has gotten to the situation of dependence in the first place. Why President Trump need to invoke IEEPA? This is not a good situation. Emergency economic. It's not a good situation. If we're not in this situation, you know, this will not be invoked. All right? So we want to further show that under this situation, the president is defending our country from going further down. So the question before the court is not really about tax. It's not even about, you know, our country economy. It is about whether the president under IEEPA has the authority to respond foreign coercion. And this foreign coercion is in a form of China dependence.
Yeah. I mean, I should have looked it up, but I'm sure there's a list of all the things, you know, back to the COVID thing, I think people panicked when they realized, you know, a lot of our medication comes from there. a lot of the things for our medication come from there. There's a tremendous amount of control over us that is really very unseen. But they do control a lot of that. And if they're allowed to just, I mean, if there's no check and no balance, that puts us in an extremely disadvantaged position. We better take a really quick break here and come back so you can get a full thought in. I'm going to cough a lot during the break, so maybe I sound less Marge-like. But anyway, you are listening to We the People. We will have this up with no interruption later this afternoon. You can find it at wethepeopleradio.us.
Waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all right, even if they say you're wrong. Well, it's all right. Sometimes you gotta be strong. Well,
it's kind of amazing how much good tariff music there is out there. Oddly enough. So, just go finish your thought or maybe expand your thought. How about that?
Yeah, I was told that my voice was kind of low. Is that...
It's good now.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
It was a little far. It was a little far away.
Okay, so we were speaking about... President Trump is invoking this power as a national defense. Now, if the court misread the situation as ordinary trade regulation, then the United States may unintentionally remove the only tool we currently have to protect our sovereignty in real time. And that is why this case matters to every American, regardless of the party, region, and ideology, because it matters that whether we remain free to make our own decision or we depend on China. And whether we can still have our own values as a nation to guide us through our decision making. And so we need to first understand the nature of this case, how we got here. So in the past, we have discussing this program in this radio stream many times about the barbarous, you know, generous barbarism. And the generous barbarism, it's kind of a weird term, right? Generous barbarism doesn't sit together. Well, they don't sit together. The barbarism is against people who are under the CCP's control. In fact, barbarism would be targeted to the U.S. companies that, you know, the setup in China. We'll get to there. But the generous is to those who are not yet under its control. The CCP tell those who are not under its control, says, we will share with you the profit that we make in China. We'll give you benefits. And there's no cost to it. You know, only that you just don't, you know, oppose us. You don't speak against how we get the profit to you. Just don't ask. Just keep it, okay? Just like when we, you know, when we accept something, right? And want to ask, you know, why we're getting it. Just take it. Don't ask.
Yeah, bottom line is, okay? We can make your product a lot cheaper here. Just don't ask us how we're doing it.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, when I first brought this topic, when we first talked about it in 2019, that I haven't seen the Janus barbarism can get worse. Now, after these years, I realize that the Janus barbarism evolves. Right? At the beginning, it's Janus barbarism, cheap goods, so convenient that we stop asking why. And then it becomes a temptation or enticing barbarism that now you can access to the China market. So that causes a competition. Countries, companies, institutions compete to comply to the CCP. Whoever, you know, get the favor of the CCP, then you have a share of the market, right? And then it becomes bribery barbarism, where silence was rewarded. In fact, the CCP would bribe with women with sexual favors, right? So we probably in California we know about Fang Fang and Swallow.
I was just going to say, this just sounds like Fang Fang and good old Eric Swalwell. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The right. Political mistake that never goes away because you have no moral
right.
compass.
And then it got to consensual barbarism where dependence felt like what we're seeing now.
Well, they basically pretend like we're working together. They make things mm-hmm. that we use and we're helping them. It's helping their economy. It's helping the people there. And I think we should mention for the folks that have not listened to the previous shows on China, if you are unfamiliar with the concept of forced organ harvesting, which is the one really strong capitalist program they have in China, they sell their citizens' organs. Go back and listen to some of those programs. It will curl your hair.
Right. So by now it has gotten to another stage. Well, we have long gotten to that stage, the dependency barbarism. A lot of our lives, a lot of aspects of our lives become dependent on China. You mentioned the COVID. Right. Let me mention something just happened a month ago. About a month ago, China announced embargo, rare earth embargo. And that puts the whole world into panic because rare earth, China owns 70% of the rare earth production in the world. By the way, they all came from the United States. Originally came from the United States. China didn't have the technology of rare earth production. We, the United States, taught them. Right. So we'll get to there. How do we become, how something that we originally know become independent? Become dependent upon China, right? And thanks to President Trump, who immediately slapped China with 100% tariff, that beat back China's embargo, China canceled the embargo. So that's just a month ago. So after PPE, you know, COVID-19, there's still more dependence barbarism going on, right? Oh, finally, we're now in coercive barbarism, where resistance will be punished. And we are at that late stage now. So we are responding. President Trump is responding to that. And still, sadly, few people see that. Few people see that President Trump is responding to that and claim that President is taking away the Congress power of tax. Nothing can be further wrong than that. So let's look at why this is a crisis that the President Trump has to respond. It has to respond with IEEPA and tariff. Right? So you mentioned COVID and the PPE. And that is a big case of crisis and dependence. Right? There will be another one. This hasn't started yet. But President Trump has already the foresight to see that coming. He's taking, you know, measures against that. But it's on the horizon. The pharmaceutical dependence. Many of the components to make our pharmaceuticals are now controlled by China.
Yeah, what could go wrong?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I mentioned the rare earth. So when we take China's favor, cheap product, we start to think, oh, wow, there are higher margin to be made. There are higher profit to be produced by company, right? So we outsource our production to China. Our company moved to China. And so the first thing to be noticed is job loss. Right, in the United States, because the production goes away, the need for a production worker goes away. Right? But then there's a hidden loss that only show up now. At the beginning, it doesn't show. Right? Rare earths, there's such a situation. China didn't know how to make rare earths. Right? So it learned from the United States, and the United States companies then transferred all those technologies to China. And so we voluntarily gave away those because those companies can make them cheaper in China. Rare earth, and the production of rare earth not only is labor intensive, but is also environmentally costly. The CCP has very little concern of environment. So all the environment protection costs can be, you know, saved in China. Okay, so rare earth capability lost. Right? Shipbuilding case capacity were also lost. We used to build fleets. Now, the United States doesn't even own 1% of the world's shipbuilding capacity. Right? And then those companies in China that operates in China. The large number of U.S. companies operates in China. Why? Because higher margin. Right? Well, once you set up in China, you're partially under the CCP's control, right? I mentioned earlier, gender barbarism. The barbarism part only works against those who are under the CCP control. Now you're in China. You're under CCP control. Right? If you want to stay here, if you want to make money here, then transfer some of their technology to us. If you don't, you don't get to make money here. So it becomes coercive. Dependency becomes coercive.
And while your company is in China, you're not operating with, I realize our regulatory environment here is onerous for a business, but what looks like a lax regulatory system in China is replaced by the fact that they watch everything you do.
Well, don't they also require you to be to have a Chinese partner?
Yeah, that's the partner is the one you are transferring your technology to.
Mm-hmm.
And then later we find your partners have set up a similar operation somewhere else to compete against you.
What a shock. I've always been told that the Chinese, just because of the culture, are not particularly good at innovating because there's so much...
They don't have to.
Yeah.
They don't have to.
Yeah, they're always kind of under the thumb, but they're excellent at replicating.
Yeah. Well, it is not the Chinese people are bad. It's a system, right?
Right. No, yeah. That's what I mean, system-wise.
Yeah, Chinese people are good at making things, but it is the Chinese government who make the Chinese people to do bad things, including the Chinese officials to do bad things, and it's the Chinese government to make Americans to do bad things. So, and in China, the CCP overtly make the Chinese people to do bad things. But in the United States, China make Americans do bad things unwittingly. So this is the part that, maybe in the next break, I recommend you play the sound of the song, Sound of Silence. There is a silence. There's a silence in United States to criticize China. Because those companies who criticize China, as I mentioned earlier, can only make money in the United States. But those who do not criticize or side with China will be able to make money at the beginning. To make money in United States and China. So, and also, those lawmakers who do not speak China will get better treatment in certain ways. So, that already fractured, actually, contaminated our system. And yet there's a silence on that. And the worst part of the silence is that even when we are the victim of that silence, we don't realize that. And the most surprising for me, as Aaron mentioned earlier, we are far ahead in terms of the COVID. Right? So when the COVID came, at that moment, okay, in that period of time, I thought to myself, and in fact I spoke at this program, I said, Americans will never believe CCP again, because the CCP is the one that, you know, brought them this, you know, so large number of deaths, right? Tremendous economic loss, you know, social distancing, all of those, right, were rooted in the CCP. Mm. To my surprise, truly to my surprise, that there are so many people who, in this country, even defend China. And large number of them don't know.
Well, I think a lot of that is just based on economics. I mean, they like buying cheaper products from China, and they don't want to rock the boat.
Well, and they don't look at what goes on over there. They're really clueless about things that are happening in that culture to the people in that culture.
Sure.
We have to take a really quick break, though, but we're going to come back. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chen. little fake musical interlude. You can find us at We the People Radio.
.us.
Yeah, sorry.
Me and all my friends, we're all misunderstood. They say we stand for nothing, and there's no way we ever could. Now we see everything that's going wrong with the world and those who lead it. We just feel like we don't have the means to rise above and beat it. So we keep waiting, waiting, waiting on the world to change. We keep on
softly creeping, left its seeds while I was sleeping, and the vision that was planted in my brain still remains within the sound of silence. In restless dreams I walked away.
Yeah, thanks, Alex. The like probably the only clip in the universe I didn't have in my thing already done. I will rectify that. That was a terrible oversight on my part. All right. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chen. And if you are wondering what you have been missing about China, like how is all this happening? I don't understand why this might be bad. What is he talking about? Please go to wethepeopleradio.us, click on the tab, mark China, super straightforward, and all of the shows are on there. They're all uninterrupted. You can listen to as much or as little, and each program has its own page. We've interviewed a number of people who've come here from China and are absolutely qualified to compare what goes on in both countries because they've lived in both countries and under both forms of government. And the people that we've interviewed came here, the first lady that I interviewed, first woman, she came here, and she was here almost 10 years before she realized we weren't pretending to be free. She actually thought we were faking, that it was all kind of a ruse like they do in China when you have a minder and they kind of curate your experience there. She thought we were faking. And when she realized she could go online, for instance, and look things up and get information without somebody breaking down her door, because she had been told, like the Tiananmen Square, that the students attacked the military, and that's what that whole thing was about. When she realized that wasn't it at all, she realized her whole life was basically a lie, and became a huge advocate for freedom. And at that point, I thought, well, we've got to find more of these people, which is how we found Dr. Chen. But I think if you're out there and wondering what you have been missing, please go catch up. We'll make it really easy for you. You can read, you can listen, you can do both. But we've got it all up there for you. Okay, there is my catch up on China. There are lots of ways to catch up on what's going on in China, but that's a shortcut for people. So Back to Dr. Jen.
So I first want to echo back to the song. I have heard this song, I don't remember how many times, but when I was young, I didn't understand it.
Yes.
And when you played this clip, you know, just a minute ago, it was the first time it really brought tears to my eyes, because it hurts. Silence like cancer grow. It grows.
Mm-hmm.
In the United States. And I also want to echo to what Bill said. I was saying that, you know, because people want cheap goods. So what happens is dependence monetizes conscience. It converts questions of right and wrong into questions of profit and loss. And once that happens, people are duped into justifying moral decision into business decision. People believe they're making business decisions, when in reality they're making moral conscience, you know, concessions. So that is exactly how the CCP strategists work. They don't have to tell us to tell lies. The CCP only needs to make us to realize that telling the truth is expensive. And so, once the market rewards silence, this will get into all aspects of life, even into our, you know, lawmaking. So the CCP invasion into our nation is real. People just do not realize that.
And that's very much their style, is to be very, very subtle. You know, I mean, you can take over a country a lot of different ways, and why not be, you know, the art of war. It's all about the slow, long game. And this is all part of that.
Yeah. And this is now... inside our institutions, it is inside our decision making. It is inside our, this is the most terrifying part, it is inside our moral center. When we're conditioned to think, to measure truth by price, truth now has a price tag. Think about that. I cannot find other words to describe it. It just, oh my goodness, silence like a cancer grow.
Well, I was going to say, and the idea that the Supreme Court would cut off the ability to combat that is just a, I think your point is very well taken, that they're missing, they're looking at the wrong thing.
Well, it's a juggling act, because you can't infringe on free trade, but there's moral implications that have to come into play and have to come into consideration as well.
Yeah.
Well, and if the president, can you imagine? I mean, let's just look at the mechanics, right? Just from a functional standpoint, let's say Congress was incredibly efficient and the government wasn't shut down for 40 something odd days because because the Democrats refused to vote for a clean funding bill. So let's just say that's not happening, and that they all get along really well, and basically they just kind of duke it out like they used to do in the old days, and make laws. 535 people, that's a lot of folks to get pointed in the right direction, even if all you're talking about is the majority of them in the right direction. So if every trade decision has to go through Congress, there will be no trade decisions. I don't know how you'd even do that. And it would take so long, by then, obviously the moment has passed. So the ability of the president to make decisions to impact policy, not the taxation of tariff, but to use that as a tool, it would no longer be a tool at all.
You put it, the best way I can put, that's exactly what it is.
We will have to, I don't know if you want to do it now or you want to do it next hour, but we do have to tell them about Brother Wang. We have like four minutes left. Should we wait till next hour and get into that?
No, go ahead.
Well, because it's an amazing example. Just an amazing example of what the president operating on his own. And it's something. Oh, I saw the sheriff of the county that's really deeply impacted by the cartel marijuana grows, and three of the county supervisors. None of them had heard anything about this, and the sheriff's eyes popped open, and everybody had that aha moment like I did when you told me about this guy yesterday. So I did post this on the page for today. Today is November 9th, 2025, if you're listening to this on a repeat. But the Swift story here is all of these cartels that we have especially in the western states, we see a lot of Chinese chemicals, 55-gallon drums. And if that's a new idea for you, please go to the website, click on the pot tab, and you'll have a flood of information. Also, the articles regarding this guy are on today's page and that one. So we're seeing tons of Chinese chemicals. It started with the northern Laotian groups, the Hmongs, had come in and started growing. And now that has really basically morphed into Chinese cartels, really hardcore, well-funded. That's the real sticker, is very well funded. They get wiped out by the sheriff's office. They're back in business in a couple of days. Everything. Greenhouses, soil, plants, everything. It's like it falls out of the sky. So everyone has always wondered. We do have Mexican cartels out here too. But there seems to be a real interplay between the two. And it's always been a little bit of a curiosity. Like, how are they bringing these chemicals from China that are they haven't been able to be sold for years and years. They're bringing them through the drug tunnels and across the border in Mexico and up into all of our areas. You know, you'd think that the Mexican drug cartels would stop that. You know, this is competition. And Dr. Chen asked me yesterday, well, you've heard about Brother Wang, right? I was like, no. Yeah, well, it turns out, I mean, would you believe... There is, you'll have to say his name. I can't, but they call him Brother Wang.
And Zhang Zhidong.
Yeah, rolls right off your tongue. if it's you, if I say it, sounds like I need to use my nebulizer again. Like, oh, Aaron's joking again. The article that caught me was in Gangsters Inc. Besides the fact that I didn't know there was a Gangsters Inc., I need to get out more. But the article doesn't cost money to read, so I thought, hey, that's a good link. But the title, The Rise and Fall of Brother Wang, the Elusive Fentanyl Kingpin Who Connected China to Mexico's Cartels. And yeah. It's like, wait, what?
Yeah, that's always been a curiosity of mine as well. Why?
Yeah.
How can China have these connections with Mexican cartels to bring stuff into the United States? Where did that all start, and how did that all happen? And it's big business down there.
Yeah. Let's see how much. We're going to run out of time, but this guy, his extradition was secured by President Trump as part of the fentanyl deal because he was a major fentanyl trafficker, and he had fled to Cuba. So part of these negotiations, unless it's just a really, really, really amazing coincidence, they gave this guy up. He was running this brother Wang was running the Sinaloa cartel. He was the head of the Sinaloa cartel. So kind of all of a sudden made all the things go together. We're going to come right back and actually finish that up. Let Dr. Chen give us the backstory. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. The second half of We the People Radio. My name is Aaron Ryan.
My name is Bill Cundiff.
I'm sounding less like Marge Simpson.
Yeah, you sound a little better.
Apparently large amounts of honey, and I probably have diabetes now. I like drank half a honey thing.
That fireball I saw you dumping in there.
No, but you know, that would have been an excellent idea. Yeah, what else I think? Darn it! Missed my moment there. Anyway, our guest is Dr. Shizong Chen, and so we kind of started, but I was talking to Alex on the break about Brother Wang and how this all really fits in with everybody who is dealing with all of the cartel influence that's, you know, burying us in rural areas, growing marijuana. Ever since they legalized it, obviously the black market exploded. So, Dr. Chen, we weren't planning on talking about that, but it came up in our conversation yesterday and was such an epiphany. Such an epiphany. Can you tell me again how he became the head of the Sinaloa cartel?
Well, he really came from, you know, no background. He was just immigrated to Mexico, like so many Chinese that trying to run away from China, right? So just ordinary. And then he married a Mexican lady, and then slowly he got into the drug business, and then he rise up in that business, and then his main thing is that he has this production line, Chinese connections, right? So when he rise up, and he apparently, you know, then start to use his connections to get the Chinese components, chemical components. So his rule, why he suddenly rise up in the cartel world, is that he streamlined those processes, right? How to smuggle, how to also he streamlined the accounting. He made the crime. He is an intelligent person, right? So he is an intelligent person among the cartel world. You know, not all, you know, many of the cartel people are not as intelligent. So he was able to simplify those processes. So that's how he become the cartel king, the drug king. Right? But that is, as he rises, he got more attention and more support from the Chinese, connection. And finally, he was caught by the Mexican government. And then he was able, with other cartels' help, escape. And then ran to Cuba, who has no extradition, agreement with the United States. And his next step is further away from the United States to Russia, another country that has no extradition agreement with the United States. And given his connection, his passport, everything about him has been, perfectly arranged. So the Russian customs is not going to suppose to discover him. Well, but this time, miraculously, he was caught. He was immediately, the Russian customs knew exactly who he is. Caught him. Okay? And then somehow, remember, Russia does not have extradition agreement with the United States, but somehow he was delivered to the United States. And then President Trump lowered the fentanyl tariff from 20% to 10%. All this timing-wise, fits together very well.
Yeah, because this was October 25th or something. I mean, this has just been a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah. This just happened in a tight space of time.
Mm-hmm.
So we have no idea, because this is an FBI operation, all this international operation. So, but, the news report get out, right? So the most likely explanation is that, well, the Chinese government, in exchange for lowering of the tariff, the fentanyl tariff, gave him away to the United States.
Wow.
I think that's what happens.
So there is the trade, we'll trade you a bad guy for a better price, barbarism. we've got a new category. Would you believe we have this really bad guy that you really want? We could make a deal on that. Wow.
Yeah, negotiable barbarism.
There you go. I like that better. It's much easier to say. Wow. I couldn't. When you told me that, I thought, are you kidding? But it made so much sense. The idea, though, that somebody with ties to the CCP is running the Sinaloa cartel, I have to say, to the, average person, that would be, if you were playing one of those true or false games, you push all your chips in on false for that.
Well, but count on it.
Yeah.
A number two, Brother Wang, is already in place.
Oh, I'm sure.
Count on it.
I'm sure. But, the interesting part is, like with all crime, right? I guess you ride the wave until it crashes on the beach. So he's already seen what happens. So I guess the next guy's lined up to live the high life and then get crushed. But yeah, I was looking at the article. This was the AP one I pulled up, and said Mexican authorities captured him in Mexico City in 2024 at the request of the U.S. government, but a judge granted him house arrest. What a great idea. And last July he escaped. What a shock. He escaped the home he was being held in under military guard. Must have been incredible security. But yeah, then they magically found him in Cuba. Huh.
Hmm.
Wow. So, So it doesn't even work out if you're their guy. Being their guy isn't even a good spot. Like, there is no good spot with the CCP.
Well, all depends on the CCP's needs. If he needs you to make trouble to the United States, you're the cartel king. When you need to be delivered to the United States, then you're
still the cartel king, but you're in jail. Oh, man. Yeah,
that regime.
That blew my mind. I sent that to so many people yesterday, and I do hope people go read about that, because tie that back to the whole idea here, right? So if in fact the president is not able to utilize tariffs as a tool.
Oh, the Congress can catch him.
Yeah, right. Yeah, Congress will convene, and they'll all agree that we should make this deal with China, and it'll stay super secret, and no one will find out about it. And, and then 10 years later, when Brother Wang is in a senior care facility, they'll kick his walker out from under him, and there we go, we got him. Stuff like this... Like not being able to do things like this and be limber. I mean, that's the thing. You have to be limber in your international decision making, because this was never made public beforehand. Obviously, I just figured it out yesterday, and it happened October 25th. Did you hear anything about this before he was snapped up in Cuba?
Not until. As I said, this happened in a very tight space of time.
Yeah, right.
his arrest. His arrest in Mexico. I mean, that is somewhere that happened earlier.
Mm-hmm.
But he's.
Yeah, he was arrested in Atlanta in 2022, and then they picked him up in Mexico and put him under house arrest a year ago, in 2024.
Yeah. But that, you know, the delivery to, you know, from Cuba to the United States, this just happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just oddly enough, synonymous with President Trump's visit to with the Chinese tariff deal. I mean, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. There's no better illustration of what you're. Of what you have been saying than that. I mean, if somebody says, well, how often does all this different stuff? Well, there, here you go. Here's a real example. Just happened. This is
one of them that we know. There
yeah, who knows what other ones, right? That's true.
So, back to what we said earlier, that the CCP has already invaded our country in so many forms. So here I want to bring up another form that very few people know. And those people, there are also many people who assist this. I remember I mentioned this in your radio, that is the CCP's utilization of Sister City program.
Oh, yeah.
So there's a sister city program, there's a sister state program. So the CCP took advantage of that and realized that with that, the CCP can go around Washington. They don't have to deal with Washington. They can deal with the 50 states. And hundreds of cities directly. And so Chinese promotes something called people-to-people diplomacy. Right? So our country then is divided into 50 entities, 50 states, each with their own different need, right? And then the state then will divide it into, you know, dozen or more cities. All, you know, dealing with their corresponding, you know, partner in China, without realizing that there's no city and state autonomy in China. You think you're dealing with the Chinese city. No, you're dealing with the entire Chinese government. You think you're dealing with your sister state such a province in China? No, you're dealing with the central government, right? So
that's always I think a classic mistake that just humans make. It's almost like when we ascribe human motives to animals. You know, I'm thinking of the guy that dressed up like a wolf and thought he could go be part of a wolf pack, and they attacked him, and he was shocked. It's like, I mean, the delusion goes like farther than just misunderstanding the concept of government. But yeah, people think, oh well, we're talking to them. They're making decisions for themselves. They're electing their representatives just like we are. No, they're not.
Yeah,
not happening.
And so even at this local level, at the cultural level, the CCPs are influencing or in our lives in so many ways, controlling us, you know. So, I mean, talking about tentacles.
Yeah.
No creature in the world has more tentacles. I mean, you add all, you know, the octopus tentacles, add all of them together, they don't amount to the tentacles of the CCP around the world.
Yeah.
The CCP's tentacles reach out down to our local community, down to our university, down to our class, down to our company. So we all think, you know, we're dealing with some, you know, corresponding part entity in China. Nope. That's the CCP's tentacle.
Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is, you know, not only do we think we know who we're dealing with, but we think we know what they want. That's a whole different problem. Let's take a really quick break and come back and talk about that, because they don't even want what we want. We're not playing the same game. We will be right back. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chen. You are listening to We the People, and you can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Your size, just when I think I'm gonna get away, I hear those words that you always say. I am the eye in the sky, looking at you. I can read your mind. I am the maker of rules, dealing with fools. I can cheat you blind, and I don't need to see it.
They can probably do that too. So, Dr. Chen, what do they really want? I mean, what's the, obviously it's a very long game. So you were talking about like sister cities and sister towns, and they've got, you know, oh goody, we've got pen pals. I don't know if they do that anymore, but you know, we used to have pen pals in foreign countries. So they've got these people buddied up with towns and cities in China. To what end?
To divide and conquer our country. It divides us. It's a subnational conquering. Right? Just go around to Washington. We spoke 50 different voices. We speak 100 different voices. There's no coherent foreign policies anymore. And so the CCP, think about this. The CCP take advantage, make use of our federalism, which is, you know, what we're proud of. It take advantage of federalism, divides the U.S. against itself. It used to, you know, Lincoln used to say the house divided cannot, you know, stand, right? It's now divided into pieces. Right. So I want to get to, so I want to get to one point first. Right? Just by incident, it's not even, it is by, it's a byproduct of the terror. That terror, you just, by that terror alone, President Trump put all those pieces together. Defend us again. Defend the country again at the national level. So, but that's even a byproduct. That is just an incident. Right? So, by incident, now the Chinese is forced to deal with U.S. as one entity. So that's what IEEPA does. So that is one point that why our Supreme Court should realize that and allow President Trump that power. But that's just a small part, a minor part, byproduct.
Sure. Before we leave the sister city thing and all that, I just I don't want to make assumptions, although I do like doing it. They're not always accurate, though. I just want to test my amazing Kreskin powers here. Kind of dates me, doesn't it? Too bad. It's good to be old. When someone in this country, I'm assuming this is all done by email, right? When they kind of go back and forth, they're not communicating with like some kid in China in school. I would imagine all that communication is absolutely controlled. Like they're not just, hey, so, you know, some kid here couldn't ask a kid there a straight up question and they're having an open dialogue that isn't curated. Is that?
Well, at the beginning, when it didn't matter, probably for the few minutes, that could happen. China has the world's largest and most powerful control of, you know, internet firewall. And so, if you do not, when your conversation is not sensitive, right? So, there's a long list of sensitive words in the internet control. If you do not speak those, then you're fine. Once you start to use those sensitive words, and these are done all, you know, electronically. It's not manpower.
Sure. Right? You get flagged? Like a little flag goes up, and they're like, well, let's look at
yeah.
Dr. Chen over there, he's coloring outside the lines. What's a what are some bad words that we would not even realize?
It changes all the time. For example, Xi Jinping is a sensitive word.
Oh. You're not allowed to write about him or whatever?
And let me give you an example. There's a well-known actor in China that was murdered a few weeks ago. And then his last name rhymes with fish. Right? So his case was prohibited from discussing in China. Right? So people then start to use, words that rhymes with his last name.
Yeah, sure.
And one of them is a fish. So fish becomes a sensitive word.
Oh my God, how exhausting.
Okay, and the funny part is that how people find out about it, there's an online fish selling website being shut down. Because it spells fish.
Because it says fish. What did the government kill the guy, or what do you think the deal is?
The people suspect the government killed the guy. That's why. That's why
I didn't want to again. Untouchable. Didn't want to assume.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That seems
so. That's why the case is untouchable. And so
wow.
To make it touchable, people then use fish, and then until that the fish selling place got shut down.
Oh,
it was not shut down by human. It was shut down electronically. All this electronics, automatically shuts it down.
Yeah, I could see that. That's pretty. That's actually super crazy. I can't even imagine. I'm so great at self-editing. Imagine how long I'd last in China. There you go. That long.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that list changes all the time. I just gave you one example. It's just millions of such examples.
Well, way back in March of 2019, we interviewed Mary Todd, who's the mother of Shane Todd, who was murdered in Singapore. And they wrote a book called Hard Drive. The son was over there working and realized that the Chinese counterpart that he was working for an American company, regarding magnetics for cell phones, had a military application, and they were asking him to bring back different types of plans and a lot of the science on paper. We want you to bring back paper, not electronics. They didn't want any traceability back to U.S. government. So he realized he was being coerced, basically, into spying and committing treason. So he wanted no part of it, told his company he was leaving, packing up his apartment. Within that two-week period, he magically hung himself on the back of a doorknob. The guy was over 6 feet tall, so it made no sense. And the Chinese government, killed himself. And they took all of the electronics and things from his apartment. Turned out all of his neighbors were actually there to spy on him, and he had documented all that. And the way they found it out, there was a small speaker, little Bluetooth speaker up on one of his shelves, and they gave that to the family along with his socks and toothbrush and stuff. They gave him this little Bluetooth speaker, and in a stunning twist of electronic oversight, they neglected to note that was a remote hard drive, and they had all of the information about what he had on his computer and all the documentation, and they gave it to the FBI and State Department, where they never saw it again. Which is super unfortunate, but yeah, he was absolutely being surveilled while he was there, supposedly working for an American company. But they were subtly, over a period of time, moving him closer and closer and closer.
Just kind of grooming him.
Yeah, to be committing espionage. It was perfectly legitimate business stuff, but then he started looking at the application of what he was doing, and it was like, wait a second, that's why they want it all on paper. So it happens when they come here, when people go there. It's a very tricky. It's a very tricky thing, but the fish thing is kind of fun. I'll know that if I ever wind up on a Chinese chat board. Wow. It's kind of exhausting. Gotta be exhausting for you, because you see it all, and you're looking at it from the perspective of, You now live in a country that has tremendous freedoms, and you're watching us unwittingly just hand it all over.
That's why I said, I'm speaking more, I start to speak, issues related to U.S. more now. I used to just speak issues related to China.
Yeah.
So we have probably 20 minutes. Let me get to the important conclusions, some of them, because we always know when we talk, we'll run out of more to talk.
Guaranteed.
We just gave some. There are more examples, but we have to cut that short. So the lesson is that this country has been invaded at so many levels, right? And this is done slowly, like what I said. The law the evolution of barbarism, right? It did get worse and worse and worse, right? More and more severe on the U.S. part, right? It is like the proverbial frog in warm water, right? And so we are losing our ability to detect them, to react to them. Fortunately, really fortunately, we have President Trump came along and realized this and then start to leap out of that warm water. You know, this is one president that realized the water is too hot, too hot, deep. Okay? And then somebody came along, litigate against President Trump, saying that, nope, the power, the authority to leap doesn't sit with you. That is the further analogy of the proverbial frog case. Finally, the frog realized the danger, start to leap, and somebody sued. Take the suit to the Supreme Court, arguing, no, the leg, the part that the frog leaped, the leg, the power, the authority used that leg, sits with the Congress, not with the president. I hope that, it's a cartoon, right? I hope that, I don't know whether I get that message.
Yeah.
Across.
No, it makes sense. And the bad part is, if in fact they do that, seemingly for the right reasons, the unintended consequence will be incredibly difficult to unwind.
So, yeah, I want to bring the last part. The most difficult part for people to understand. And that is, if all this is caused by China, why President Trump slapped this tariffs on even many of our friendly countries, the European Union, Canada, Mexico, Vietnam, Malaysia, right, you name it, okay? So many countries. And people do not understand that. And this is exactly the brilliant part of President Trump, because that draws the battle line, okay? Now, let's review what that battle line is. From the CCP part, the generous barbarism says, right, you get a share of our profit. But if you want the access to our market, the largest market, right, you need to align with me, right? So this is what has been working for the past 30 years, the generous barbarism, right? So the CCP got the whole world hooked to that generous barbarism. And now the generous barbarism is evolved to coercive barbarism. So no one knew how to react. No one knew how to fight it. Because at the beginning it was not as bad as it is, right? At the beginning it's very comfortable. The water is very comfortable. The frog gets used to it.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, President Trump come, and he draw another battle line, a battle line nobody sees, or nobody draw, nobody has seen, or know how to draw. And this battle line, the battle line is this, okay? President Trump is saying, the United States is still the largest buying market, the largest consumer market. Now, if you want to have access to that market, you have to align with the United States. So, here is two lines, to align with China or to align with the United States. Now, remember, all those countries, you know, over 100 frogs has already been down warm water. If you don't poke them, they will not leap. And number one, the way to poke them is tariffs against them. But that's the small reason. There's a bigger reason. The ultimate reason is that the CCP, like you said, is very nimble. They're very flexible, right? In President Trump's first term, he negotiated a trade deal with China and slapped, you know, certain tariffs on China. So that's against one country. So, you know, there's not much, there's no complaint. Because he did, President Trump did not have to invoke IEEPA in that negotiation. The CCP then responded by channeling its export through our so-called friendly country, Canada, Mexico, Vietnam, you name it, right? These are supposed to be our U.S. friendly country. But all this friendly country has also become dependent, remember, dependency. They have also, like the United States, a large portion of them become dependent on China. And so there's also silence there, if not more, because U.S. is more powerful than them. So they comply with China's, you know, channeling of merchant. So the Chinese government, the CCP, is still able to infiltrate the United States through our friendly country. And to cure that, the Congress is not equipped to react to that. The Congress cannot negotiate over 100 trade deals with all this 100 countries, all our friendly countries. And so it only the administration have this power.
Sure, could you imagine?
To install this general tariff.
And to take it,
our friendly countries.
Not just to put it on, but take it off. I mean, to utilize it as a tool, up and down, you know. I mean, some of the
exactly.
tariff discussion is, you know, we're going to increase it. Oh, okay, you're going to fix that. Well, we'll decrease it. That happens all, in some cases, on the same day. That can't happen if every single aspect of that has to go through congressional approval. And I don't think that serves the American people, which would be the whole point of doing that. We're tardy.
You caught it right away.
I have to, look at that. I'm going to bask in my smartness, take a swift break here. Bill wants to give me an award. We have to take a commercial break. Isn't that right, Bill?
Absolutely.
Isn't that what's happening? We'll be right back. Our guest is Dr. Shizong Chen. You're listening to We the People. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us. stretching. We're into the, I don't know, 10 and a half minutes maybe. So before we run out of time, I just wanted to say thank you for coming on, since that always gets chopped off at the end. So we'll pre-thank you. How about that? And then unceremoniously ditch you at the end. That seems to be...
No, thank you.
That seems to be the habit. But, it's worth mentioning that it is Veterans Day on the 11th. And, you know, for all those people who are out there suffering from Trump derangement syndrome and can't see anything that, this guy does that could possibly be correct, and you hope he loses everything and the Supreme Court should rule against him because he's Orange Man bad. Honestly, if you care about the people who are currently and have previously fought for our freedoms here in this country and defend them now, you know, look at the bigger picture. You know, we hope we've brought you a bigger picture today, that regardless of who the president is, and maybe you don't like him, maybe you're not a Republican and all that stuff, you don't have to be in order to feel like it's probably a good idea to defend your own country. So for all those people that have put it on the line to defend us and make sure that we do have freedoms, let's not be the people that just for partisan politic reasons, we hand it off to the Chinese Communist Party or anybody else for that matter. So anyway, there you go. There's my commercial.
All right.
He's all right.
Now,
you're the master of the classic. Dr. Chen, you're so much fun. All right, sorry. Go on.
No. Let's tie everything together to the case. All right. So we elaborated on why how and why we get to here. And this is not a trade case. And I think this is the most important foreign relationship case since the Amistad case got to the Supreme Court. And the Amistad case established that coercive trade is not trade. It's not a trade issue. It's not lawful. It cannot be treated as a lawful trade. The CCP trade or generous barbarism scheme is much more complex than the Amistad. But its nature doesn't change. It's slavery. It's coercive system, right? You cannot treat it as a lawful trade. Therefore, it is a national security issue. It's a foreign relationship issue. It's a self-defense issue. It is a frog leaping out of the danger. If the High Court, if our Supreme Court cannot correctly realize that, it may make the mistake by destroying the Constitution in the very effort to defend that Constitution. Because, you know, the High Court may be thinking we are defending the division of power, the sure. check and balances.
Right.
When the very essence, when the very existence of our republic is being attacked, being undermined. And so it may have all the good intentions, but if we do not see this nature, how we get here, and it's not easy to see it because it's done so slowly, so gradually, so deviously, it is very difficult to recognize that. Let alone that there are so many businesses, there's so many institutions, so many universities, scholars who are dependent on China. Will submit, they have been, I have seen some of them, they will submit amicus brief to the court arguing against President Trump without realizing they submit this amicus brief because they were dependent on China. And so it is very difficult to see. And so the Supreme Court, you know, justice may be thinking they're defending our Constitution. They may think they're using our Constitution to rule on this case, whereas the very Constitution is under threat, not by President Trump's misuse of his power, but by the CCP's slow erosion of our values. And we are still in that great danger, because the sound of some of the justices questioning, like the, you know, the major question doctrine, like whether the tax is, you know, the Congress power. Yeah, the tone and sound is threatening. And yet, at the very court, the Congress passed IEEPA exactly for this kind of moment, because the emergency economic refers to, in the act, refers to unusual and critical, or you know, a critical moment.
Sure.
If this is not that moment, I don't know what can be. Right? And some people argue that the Congress, in that IEEPA, did not specify tariff as a tool for the president's use. Well, we need to check into the original intention of the legislation. The Congress realized in that kind of moment, we cannot limit the president the tool to use. Right. If the Congress have in their mind a certain limitations, they do not want to the president to use, they will limit it.
Sure.
When they do not limit it, then it's all belong to the war chest that the president can use. Right. So the key of this law shouldn't be what's in the war chest, but the unusual and extraordinary, it's just an extraordinary situation. So the key should be whether a situation is unusual and extraordinary. As soon as that fits that, then the president should be allowed to use whatever the Congress did not prohibit him to use. I hope that we got that result. I I really hope that our justice will not make the mistake by harming our Constitution in an unintentional act to defend our Constitution. That's all I have to say. That's all I have to hope.
Well, we will... We will watch. We will watch, and I hope you'll update us since you're looking at this really closely. I'd also like it if there's anything for me to add to this page after the fact, different amicus briefs and that sort of thing. That would be very, very helpful. Well, guess what? We ran out of time. What a shocker. Thank you so much for coming on with us, and I'm sure we will talk to you long before 2026 because... You know, that's ridiculous. This once a year thing. This is ludicrous.
Lots going on, and it's moving really fast.
I think
that's part of the problem, too. It's making people nervous. Things are getting done so quick.
It is. So please check in with us. Send this show to friends. We the People Radio.
.us.
Bye, Dr. Jen.
Bye. Wicked. Money don't grow on trees. We got bills to pay. We got mouths to feed. There ain't nothing in this world for free. I know we can't slow down, we can't hold back, though you know we wish we could. I know there ain't no rest for the wicked until we close our eyes for good.